From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. This hour, the growing passion for backyard poultry. We'll discuss the movement across the country and in several Iowa communities to allow in-town residents to keep backyard chickens. My guests will include Susan Orlean, author and staff writer for The New Yorker magazine. She recently reported on the nationwide backyard chicken trend. Also, Bud Wood, president of McMurray Hatchery in Webster City, which is the largest rare breed poultry hatchery in the world. We'll also hear from a member of Cedar Rapids CLUC, Citizens for the Legalization of Urban Chickens. Tell us what you think of having chickens next door, or for yourself. Our discussion starts after this news. This is The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer, and you're listening to an archive edition of our program today. Across the country, there is a surging passion for raising chickens, not in barnyards, but in backyards. In our second half hour, we'll discuss the movement in several Iowa communities to allow in-town residents to keep backyard chickens. However, my first guest today is author and staff writer for The New Yorker magazine, Susan Orlean. Her article about the return of the backyard chicken, titled The It Bird, appeared in the September issue of The New Yorker. Susan Orlean joins us this afternoon by phone from her home in upstate New York, I believe. Good afternoon.
Great to be with you.
You keep a number of chickens. Have you been out with them today?
I was out with them this morning, making sure they hadn't frozen last night.
Oh, is it getting down to the freezing temperatures
it's
there?
It's getting cold, and I was out visiting with them, and the thing that I have discovered is how much fun they are to watch. I like watching them interact with each other, which is they have a very complex social system. As I said to someone recently, you begin to understand the expression pecking order when you have chickens.
Right.
You appreciate that they really do have a pecking order, but they're pretty entertaining. I find myself pretty fascinated by them, which is a big surprise.
So you said you were visiting, you've been visiting with them today, as you would do every day. Does that mean you interact with them, talk to them, cluck at them?
I do, and actually I have an emerging issue in my little flock, which is a chicken who I had thought was a hen revealed himself to be a rooster not that long ago, and it was a big surprise to us. It's not easy to tell the gender of a chicken until they're pretty mature. So this had been a very laid-back, shy little bird who suddenly got really big and started to crow, and we thought, wait a minute, that's unusual. Well, she is a he, and he's finally really mature and getting a little bit aggressive. So I was out there talking to him and kind of laid down the law and said, look, you got to keep it together here because I don't want to get stomped by my chickens when I come out in the morning. I don't know if it's going to be effective.
Well, with one rooster in there, you could have the potential for other chickens.
Yeah, I mean, certainly you could. And I do know people who have successfully raise chicks, and I think it would be a lot of fun. I have a four-year-old son who I think would really enjoy that process. It's a little bit maybe more complicated, I mean, not for the chickens, obviously, but for me, to be raising chicks and dealing with the heat lights and so forth. But I think it would be really wonderful, really fun. So we'll see. In the meantime, Laura the rooster just has to mind his manners a bit.
Might have to look after a new name for Laura. I'm not sure. Lauren?
You know, we decided, you know, Lori in Oklahoma was a boy.
Oh, there you go.
So we've decided, you know, there is a precedent. So we're sticking with Laura for the time being.
Susan, just how widespread and strong is this trend across the country to keep backyard chickens?
You know, this is obviously it's something that you're not going to be finding chickens in every high-rise apartment building in Manhattan, but there is no question that it is growing exponentially. a lot of the chicken hatcheries that sell directly to consumers like me rather than to big poultry factory farms are finding that they're selling out totally of all of their chicks, and it's something that hasn't happened ever in many instances where they're sold out entirely. 2 million chicks being shipped from McMurray Hatchery in Webster City and so forth. So they're really seeing with these indicators, not only is it growing, but it's different people. So it's spreading in a way that's very interesting to people who are in suburbs, to people who are in cities that permit a small number of chickens. And that's what's so interesting is the demographics are changing as well as the numbers.
In fact, Bud Wood, the president of McMurray Hatchery in Webster City, Iowa, and you interviewed him for your article, will be joining us by phone in just a few minutes. But before that, let's talk about why there's such a surging passion for backyard poultry. You write in your article, chickens seem to be a perfect convergence of the economic, environmental, gastronomic, and emotional matters of the moment. Explain what you mean.
It had occurred to me as I was working on the piece that if you look at all of the big trends in our culture right now, the economic one, for instance, the anxiety in the course of a recession, and in fact, Bud Wood was the one who mentioned to me that the only other year that they sold out entirely of their chicks was 1999, when people were looking at the millennium with some anxiety and not quite sure what was going to happen, and in the depression also, and people were buying chickens. It doesn't necessarily knock down your food costs a huge amount because eggs aren't that expensive, but the feeling of self-sufficiency at a time when the economy is shaky is very appealing to people. Then you add into that the huge movement to organic food, home-raised food, consuming locally. What could be more local than your own backyard? And even, again, the symbolic value of saying, you know, sure, I go to the grocery store and buy a lot of my food, but at least one portion of my consumption is something that I'm really familiar with. It's happening in my backyard. I'm raising my chickens in a healthy way, and I know what they're eating. So it appeals to us both actually and symbolically to sort of soothe that feeling of the world being a little bit a little rocky at the moment, a desire to really take charge of food issues, which has just grown and grown exponentially, not only in the U.S., by the way, but in Europe, where the interest in organic food and local food has actually been developed a lot earlier than it was here in the U.S., so that they're a good decade ahead of us in terms of being interested in eating organically and so forth.
Should we, Susan, should we be thinking of these backyard chickens as pets or livestock?
It's a very complicated question because as my oldest chicken is reaching her maturity and might only lay eggs for, oh, who knows, maybe another year, I've begun to think of what exactly will be her retirement plan.
Susan, you're not going to cook her, are you?
Oh, no.
Okay. I thought that's where you were going.
No. Although, actually, Martha Stewart, who was one of the pioneers of home chicken raising and has been an advocate for years, and I really think influenced a lot of people in this regard, she does cook her chickens, and my chickens are breeds that are really, they're egg layers. They're not meat chickens, so they might not even be that tasty. But I would not find it very comfortable to eat something that I've named and raised and suffered with, and it's all that people do, and I don't have any problem with it, and I do eat chicken. They're not pets. They're not quite livestock. I think there's something in between that, particularly if you only keep a few. And I suppose in the same way as if you had one cow who you milked, they're not pets. There are people who make chickens into pets, and you can, for better or worse, buy chicken diapers.
Oh, no.
And have them in your home, and I'm not recommending it.
You haven't tried that?
No, and I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon in my house. But
how are they different than keeping a dog or a cat in terms of their companionship? Can they fulfill that role?
They are certainly not. I mean, they know you and they respond to you, and they're not dumb animals. I mean, they certainly have a relationship. In my case, they definitely know the difference between me and the other members of my household, and they respond differently. I wouldn't say they're companionship as much as they are really, really enjoyable to watch and to interact with. It's really fun to sit out in the coop and watch them fussing around and hunting for bugs and interacting with each other. I guess you would say that I suppose some people might feel this about having a beautiful aquarium. I think chickens can be so much fun to watch. They're so beautiful. And yet I don't think that they have the empathic gene that certainly that dogs have and cats as well. And the fact that they, except for those special people who have the chicken diapers, they're not living in your house, and that's a huge difference. The animals that we invite into our home, we have a different relationship with than the ones who live outside, with a few notable exceptions like horses, you know.
We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the care of chickens. But very quickly, how many minutes do you spend a day, do you think, caring for your chickens?
I probably, all told, between a half hour and on, depending. But I can spend as little as 10 minutes in the morning and 5 or 10 minutes in the evening. They're not labor-intensive, but I like to spend more time out there and visit with them.
Susan, we'll have to take a break. Coming back in just a minute, Susan Orlean with us, author, staff writer for The New Yorker. Her recent article titled The It Bird talked about the return of the backyard chicken. And we'll come back to discuss the passion for poultry in our backyards sweeping the country. 1-866-780-9100 or the exchange at iowapublicradio.org. If you'd like to join our conversation, we'll be back in 1 minute. This is an archive edition of The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. Today, talking about the new passion for backyard poultry and the movement in communities to allow in-town residents to keep backyard chickens. We'll be discussing that further in our second half hour. But right now, a conversation with author and staff writer for The New Yorker magazine, Susan Orlean. She is the author of an article recently in The New Yorker about the return of the backyard chicken. Also, a chicken keeper as well. We wanted to talk to Bud Wood in just a moment, president of McMurray Hatchery in Webster City, but I wanted to ask you, as a new, and I think relatively new owner keeper of chickens, Susan, I think you've been, with chickens now for 2 years?
Yep.
What advice would you say to give to someone who is listening right now who may be considering keeping chickens? What do you need to ask yourself to determine whether you would make a good chicken keeper, if you would enjoy them?
Well, I think the first thing you have to determine is if you not only have the space and the neighbors who are going to accept you having chickens, especially if you live in the suburbs or somewhere where you're close to another house. Even hens make a certain amount of noise, although it's not considerable. But secondly, they're not... They need care, and they need to be taken care of in a way that if you're going out of town and you can take your dog to a kennel, you can't take your chickens to a kennel, or at least not that I'm aware of. So you need to make sure that you're in a situation where there's somebody who could fill in if you're away. But other than that, they are very, they're pretty easy to take care of once you just have a coop set up and you've got the space. The final issue is predators. That's something that anyone who keeps chickens has to brace themselves for the inevitable, and I've lost quite a few.
To what, a dog, cat, a hawk?
Two to my neighbor's dogs, two to probably hawks or foxes, and I was devastated. It's not something when you have a dog or cat that you think about, which is that they might get killed by another animal, and I was just crushed, and I don't let my chickens roam around my yard anymore because I just don't want them to get killed. I just find it too difficult to stomach that. And if you live anywhere where there are coyotes, hawks, owls, I mean, everybody likes to eat chicken. Everybody.
Susan, please stay on the line. Sure. Joining us from New York State. We're going to be joined now by Bud Wood, mentioned in Susan's article in The New Yorker. He is the president of McMurray Hatchery in Webster City. It was founded in 1917, the largest rare breed poultry hatchery in the world, a hatchery that caters to people with backyard flocks. Bud, joining us from Webster City. Good afternoon, Bud Wood.
Good afternoon to you.
You've been listening to a little of our conversation with Susan Orlean. How many chicks have you sold this year?
About 1.8 million.
Wow. And how many different breeds?
We have 110 different breeds of chickens that we sell.
So what is the spread as far as the price range?
Well, it goes from anywhere from under a dollar to maybe up to $4 a bird.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and all different kinds of looks for these birds. Do you find that your customers are looking for the look, the exotic look more than anything, or the behavior? Is there a difference there?
It's all over the place. It's kind of a personal preference. You know, I have people that say, I want Buff Orpingtons because I used to go to Grandma, and she always had Buff Orpingtons, and so that's what I want. And then I have other people that say, I want Araucanas because of they're all different colors and they lay the green eggs. And I have people that say, I like a white chicken, so I want a white Leghorn. So all different reasons, all different types, and it's just a personal preference.
Mm-hmm. 1.8 million chicks so far this year. Is this sort of the highest you've seen in terms of the demand for these chicks?
This year and last year, we have been running at full capacity. We're shipping as many chickens as we can hatch. And it's just, I think it's this backyard poultry that our orders keep getting smaller in number. And we just have more and more people that want them. We're sending out a lot more orders at just smaller ones.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you were on the line when I asked Susan this question, but do people want them more as livestock or as pets, companions?
When people ask now, I say we are out of the livestock business. We are in the pet business now. That people get them because they like the idea of having a pet that can also produce eggs, that can, give something back to them.
So we're out of the era, as Susan mentioned, in 1999, there was a surge of buying prior to the sort of the millennium scare, survivalists and so forth, trying to be more self-sufficient. That's not what you're seeing now?
Oh, I think there's some of that still. I think in this down economy that we had people that bought because they felt like they could have chickens, they could have meat and eggs for the table. But I also think there's a big group of people that want to know where their food comes from, and they want to get back to the land, and they have all those romantic ideas about that. And I think once they get chickens and start working with them, they become attached and they become pets.
We have all the news of avian flu, swine flu. Should people be worried about any diseases that chickens can carry?
That's all, like any animal, that's all in the management. If you take care of them and properly, those kind of issues shouldn't be a problem. The avian flu has been around for millenniums. The current bird flu that everybody's worried about has not come to the United States yet. Mm-hmm. And so there isn't really a problem with that. And the swine flu, which really is a misnomer on that, is not showing up in birds, and it's not a problem there.
Do you view this as a short-lived trend, flash in the pot, or a longer-term change in how we view and use chickens?
Well, you know, a few years ago I would have said this was just kind of a flash, but I see the number of cities changing over to allow birds in their backyards. I see organizations being developed to help people keep chickens in their backyards. I see an industry making items and feed and stuff for the backyard enthusiast. I think it's here to stay.
Okay, very good. We've got just a minute or two left. Susan was worried earlier. She's on the line from New York State about the dropping temperatures, as we are here in Iowa. So if you have chickens, what do you need to how do you look after chickens so they don't freeze?
Well, chickens are very hardy. Normally, if you have them in a building that is fairly airtight, so there isn't a draft, and you have enough in there that they can stay warm with each other, they'll be just fine. The problem is if it gets too cold and they freeze their comb, they'll stop laying eggs. Mm. And so you don't want that to happen. You also want to have water available to them all the time. So it really would be best to keep them in something that would stay above freezing.
Okay, Susan, we have to go now, but I hope your chickens are going to be well looked after in the freezing temperatures.
Yeah, and they seem to do very well. I mean, I was reading in a chicken book recently that as it gets cold, it's good to put Vaseline on their combs. So I had this image of myself out rubbing Vaseline on my chickens' combs, and I thought, well, this is part of the pleasure of having animals.
Okay.
The funny sort of maintenance that you do with them, and it's well worth it.
Very good, Susan. Thank you for joining us this morning. All that's left to ask you is, can you give us some chicken talk on the way out to say goodbye? No?
I'm not quite good at that yet.
Okay. We'll leave it at that. Author and staff writer for The New Yorker magazine, Susan Orlean. Boy, I'm mixed up here. I'm sorry.
I like that name, though.
You do? Okay, let's put it in your next novel.
You bet.
Thank you for joining us, Susan. Also, Bud Wood, I think you're going to hang on the line with us. When we come back in just a moment, we'll continue our discussion about the increased interest in keeping backyard chickens with a number of other people concerned with this issue, to find out if it's legal in your community, for instance. We'll be back in just a moment. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. This is an archive edition of The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. We're picking up on the new passion for backyard poultry. We want to discuss the movement in several Iowa communities to allow in-town residents to keep backyard chickens for this half hour. Joining me now, Rebecca Mumaw. She is a member of Cedar Rapids CLUC, and that stands for Citizens for the Legalization of Urban Chickens, joining us by phone from Cedar Rapids. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello. Good afternoon. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you for joining us. Judy Parks is with us as well, Assistant City Attorney in Ames. She's in the studio of Iowa Public Radio in Ames. Good afternoon to you, Judy.
Well, good afternoon to you as well.
And joining me in the Iowa Public Radio studios in Iowa City, Mayor Regina Bailey. Good afternoon to you, Mayor.
Good afternoon. Glad to be here.
Rebecca, let's start with you.
Sure.
As a member of Cedar Rapids CLUC, Citizens for the Legalization of Urban Chickens. How long have you raised chickens? I assume you are raising chickens.
Actually, I'm not.
Oh.
I live in the city. They're legal in the city of Cedar Rapids.
Oh, so you want to raise chickens.
I would like to raise chickens, yes.
What have you asked the Cedar Rapids City Council to do?
We've asked the council, currently the council lists, or excuse me, the ordinance lists chickens as agricultural animals. And so they are banned in the city under agricultural ordinances. And so what we're asking the city to do is to consider chickens as pets and consider them as a gardening pursuit, right? Just as raising backyard produce is a garden. We're not trying to, for example, raise corn to sell, lots of corn to sell or anything like that in our backyards, the same as we're not trying to raise chickens to make money. Mm-hmm. We're just for eggs in our own backyard.
But your radishes or your tomatoes aren't going to bother your neighbors, are they?
this is true, but we don't believe that the chickens will either.
What has been the response of the Cedar Rapids City Council?
We are still working on getting some definite responses. We have a couple that are definitely for it, and we have one at least that is definitely against it. So it's been mixed so far.
Mm-hmm. How many members are there of Cedar Rapids CLUC, the Citizens for the Legalization of Urban Chickens?
We have about 35 families,
mm-hmm.
and we recently have posted a Facebook site. And we have been receiving tremendous support, not only from the Cedar Rapids community and the surrounding area, but also from across the country.
Mm-hmm. So you do pick up on the fact that it's a nationwide movement, you think?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It certainly has been. It started in the UK about 10 years ago. They estimate that there's about 500,000 people in urban areas in the UK that keep chickens. And it has started on the West Coast, and it's been sweeping across the country.
Judy Parks, Assistant City Attorney in Ames. Ames, I understand, has allowed backyard chickens for years. For how long?
Well, I've worked for the city about 20 years, and it predates me, so it has been decades.
Do you know of people in Ames who keep chickens?
Only anecdotally. I don't live next to anyone who does, but I know they're out there. The animal control folks do check up on inquiries and know that they are found all over the town.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had, you say you've been in this position 20 years?
Correct.
Have you had a complaint about someone keeping chickens within city limits?
I won't say complaint. We, from time to time, have people who have inquiries. They'll call and say, I've seen them like down the block. Are those legal? And we can confirm that they are.
Mm-hmm. In comparison, when compared, for instance, to barking dog complaints, how do they match up?
We have lots more of the latter.
Okay, very good. So why is it? This is interesting. A lot of communities outlawed the keeping of livestock, of chickens, I believe in the around the 1950s or so. Why did Ames keep this on?
Well, it would be pure speculation on my part to guess why, but we have not found any need to change what the practice had been over time. The ordinance that allows the animals has been in effect since the late 80s at least, and it had a predecessor as well. I guess if it's not broke, don't fix it. We just haven't found that there people have been so irresponsible that we've needed to legislate.
I'm wondering if Ames is special in some way, perhaps a connection with Iowa State University as a great agricultural university.
That's possible.
Okay. Regina Bailey, Iowa City Mayor, how has this has come up here in Iowa City. I understand that you yourself as mayor are opposed to the idea of backyard chickens. Is that true?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. But there is an ordinance being drafted that you'll be considering.
The majority of the current council was interested in moving ahead on this. Our animal control people had asked us to wait for a year. They're still doing some flood recovery. They're not in their old building, and they're still dealing with some results of the flood. So that they had asked us if we were interested in moving ahead on this to wait. But an ordinance is being drafted, and we'll move forward through planning and zoning and through the appropriate measures after the first of the year. I must say, though, our council is changing after the first of the year, so that may also change.
Mm-hmm. Why are you opposed to allowing people backyard chickens within the city limits?
Well, I was one of three people who was not supportive of this. I mean, part of it, I think, is I'm a traditional Iowan. I think when people move to cities, they have certain expectations of what living in a city versus what living in the country is like. And so I have an expectation of those sorts of things. The role in a community is to balance the interest between neighbors. And we certainly spend a lot of time on that, you know, through our zoning and through our code enforcement. And we see challenges all the time. I believed that this would just add one more to the pile of challenges with conflicts between neighbors, conflicts within neighborhoods, adding sort of more stress and expense to our code enforcement and our animal enforcement officers. We also spoke of some concern about the abandonment of animals in our university community, which is rather high. And so to do this, we would need some level of accommodation in our animal shelter. And they've done this before with other animals. They've acknowledged that. But we would need some level of accommodation in our animal shelter for chickens that might be abandoned as people move out.
Mayor Bailey, what do you make of Judy Park's remark that in her 20 years, it doesn't seem like she can remember a complaint, only in a question, a query about whether people are allowed to keep chickens compared to the barking dog complaints? They are quite numerous, I know.
Certainly that came up in our discussion.
But I mean, your justification there is you don't want to add another layer of stress between neighbors. But are they a layer of stress?
I anticipate that they might be. She hasn't had that experience. It seems like there are a few people who keep chickens in Ames, but our housing department head did talk about his concerns about investigating those kinds of complaints. We do know that we have pretty active citizens who do a fair number of complaints if they believe that properties aren't up to speed.
Bud Wood, are you still with us there in Webster City?
Yes, I am.
President of McMurray Hatchery, I know you cater to people with backyard flocks and have an economic self-interest in this, but when you hear this discussion about disturbances, higher stress levels in neighborhoods caused by the addition of backyard chickens, what are your thoughts?
I really don't think that's appropriate because chickens, especially if you outlaw roosters, just the hens, is a very low clucking sound. It really is very calming. And I often tell people, you know, if their neighbor has some kind of an issue, go take them a dozen eggs.
What about the smell?
Change mind quickly.
Mayor Bailey is asking you about the smell.
Because that was something that came up, concerns about smell.
A well-maintained flock, there shouldn't be a smell or a problem. And a group of 3 to 6 chickens is going to produce a lot less manure than a Labrador Retriever.
Mm-hmm. Judy Parks and Ames, also no complaints about smell.
No, none that I'm aware of. I would agree that maintenance is crucial, though.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to register in Ames that you're keeping backyard chickens the way you would a dog or a cat?
No, you do not.
So you don't really know how many people are keeping chickens.
No, I couldn't give you an exact count or even a rough count.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is your opinion changed at all, Mayor Bailey, by this discussion? What is your the greatest outstanding sort of concern you have here? If we kind of determine that perhaps the added stresses in neighborhoods may be minimal, according to what we're gathering right now, what would it take to convince you this is not such a bad idea?
Perhaps... Well, I've asked myself that. I spent a long time on the phone yesterday with Denise O'Brien, who's been an ag activist for years and years and years, and we probably talked about this for a half an hour. And we also specifically talked about my concern for the local regional farm economy. And she had, of course, talked about this with farmers about the impact or the lack thereof. I understand the sustainability arguments. I support local foods through supporting my local farmer. I personally am not interested in keeping chickens. It looks like that we're going to have to find a way to balance this interest in Iowa City if this moves ahead. So I'm always heartened to hear the conversation about what the options are. We would, unlike Ames, we would expect some kind of permitting process, and we would the model ordinances we looked at would also require some level of inspection for the chicken coop itself to make sure that the health and safety of the animals were being addressed.
We don't do that for dogs or cats.
We don't. And so I think part of this is just the ordinances that our legal staff looked at, that those were present in some of those communities, just because for many people, this is a new sort of thing. When you talk about urban chickens, you're not talking about people who have raised chickens before. And I think that might be part of my concern.
Okay, very good. We'd like to ask our listeners to join in our conversation in the remaining minutes talking about backyard chickens. Do you keep chickens? Does your neighbor? What do you think about this new passion for backyard poultry? Should we allow it in all our communities? Of course, that's each community decides for itself and is doing so, as Ames has, as Iowa City is, as Cedar Rapids, perhaps rethinking this. 1-866-780-9100. Our toll-free number, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. I want to go back to Rebecca. Some have advocated for including a good neighbor requirement for backyard chicken ordinances, that you must inform or get consent from your neighbors before starting to raise chickens in your backyard. How do you feel about that? Would that be acceptable for you in the Cedar Rapids ordinance?
There are some city council members that are advocating that, and as a matter of fact, they're advocating a 100% consent from all of your neighbors.
Anybody adjoining you can stop it, can veto it.
That's right.
Mm.
And we are definitely concerned about that, particularly since, as Mayor Bailey said, it is a new thing. Some people are a bit nervous about it, and I think that if we're going to run a trial, which is actually what we're asking the city for, a limited number of licenses for a year until we can see how it goes. I think that if we're going to run a true trial, I think that we need to, allow the people to have the chickens regardless of whether the neighbors think that that's an okay idea before they even get them and experience them.
Okay. Mayor Bailey wanted to respond.
I just want to ask you a question, Rebecca. Uh-huh. Are you requesting that chickens be allowed in all residential areas throughout Cedar Rapids? Because, as you know, some residential areas have houses closer
yes.
to each other than others. So all?
And that's true. Yes, we are. At least all homes that are owned by people. Not necessarily rental property, certainly not apartments. But chickens really take up very little room. You can have a chicken apartment type of setup or a chicken tractor that has a pen area in the bottom and a housing area on the top, and the chickens go up and down via a ramp. And you can do that in a 4x6 area and keep 3 to 5 chickens in that sort of setup. So it really doesn't take very much room at all to keep chickens.
I was more concerned about the proximity of houses and backyards to one another, because in some zoned areas, of course, backyards are farther apart. So that might be more mm-hmm. acceptable to some people.
And it could be, and perhaps maybe in those smaller areas we could talk with the city council about neighbor consent.
Okay, we have just a few minutes left. I want to get some callers in
sure.
here, 1-866-780-9100, to Donna in Waterloo. Hi, Donna. Do you have some experience with chickens in the neighborhood?
Just slightly, yeah. I had two things, one comment, one question. I hope I'm not doubling up on something that you guys have already covered. First is my comment, and I had a little larger lot at one time, and I had neighbors who had a few chickens, I don't know what it was, 6, 7, and it was no problem. They would kind of meander into my lot occasionally, catch bugs in the evening. It was kind of enjoyable watching them. There was no trouble with the feces in our area when I mowed, nothing like that. I don't think there was enough of them to be problematic. I rather enjoyed it, and they got the eggs.
Mm, all right. You had a question?
And, yes, my question is, in the city, smaller lots, more people, how do people take care of the refuse, the bedding that's been used in there? How often do they change it? And with the chicken manure in the bedding, what do they do? Do they take it to the landfill? Do they put it in the
okay.
garbage?
Let's see if Rebecca Muma knows the answer to those questions.
Most of us are avid gardeners, and so we compost. And we use, you can do that with chicken manure, unlike dogs and cats, because they carry human pathogens. Chickens do not. And it's a wonderful compost. It's a very high nitrogen fertilizer for the garden. And so many of us, that's our primary interest in the chickens, not just the eggs. And in other communities where perhaps they don't have the room for a compost pile, or they're not gardeners, they would dispose of it just in the same way that you would dispose of your dog feces or your cat feces.
Okay, let's go to Dennis. Dennis, I don't know where you're calling from. Welcome to our program.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a licensed poultry judge with the American Poultry Association, and I'm also a backyard enthusiast and promote that in towns and cities. And there are a few things that I'd like to point out. There is a long history in this country of people being able to raise, even in urban areas in on the East Coast in New York City. There are a lot of people who even keep chickens in, on rooftops, pigeons on rooftops in tenement apartment areas. And it's been done for, since the beginning of the country. I think that if a city is looking at putting an ordinance in, I would say that it's important to consider things like banning roosters, limiting the numbers, possibly encouraging, there are bantam chickens, which are diminutive versions of the larger chickens, maybe encouraging that, that still produce eggs and have that aesthetic quality that people enjoy. And I think it's important to recognize that people, not everyone is attracted to chickens, but certain people, myself and some of your other people on there, have that. That's something that they enjoy and appreciate. And whether you look at them as an agricultural commodity or a pet, I keep just a very few bantam chickens, enjoy the time with my grandchildren with them and teach them, some of the different things about animal husbandry through that. But I think there are a lot of ways that cities or towns could accommodate the backyard enthusiast.
Dennis, thank you very much. Let's move to Kevin. Kevin, you're on the road somewhere.
Yes.
Yes. What do you have to say to our conversation here?
Well, I just want to say that we keep chickens in our backyard, and not only are they wonderful about keeping the bugs down, but they add the manure to the yard. And the only problem that I see that any city embracing chickens would be the property rights of the hens once they get killed by somebody's stray dog.
Hmm. Where do you keep your chickens?
We keep them in the backyard. We build a little hen, or a little hutch for them in the backyard.
I guess I'm asking where do you live, Kevin?
Oh, I'm sorry, in Boonville, Indiana.
You live in Indiana, so your town permits this.
Yeah, I'm calling from the highway. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Now, any problems with the neighbors? Have you had a chicken killed by a neighbor's pet?
Well, we actually had one killed by our own.
Oh, by your own. Okay. So you have to clear up the idea of if your chicken's there and a stray dog comes in, your chicken gets killed. I suppose that might, Mayor Bailey, that's something that has to be addressed in the ordinance. Would that be similar to your dog or your cat getting killed by a neighbor?
I think it would have to be addressed in the ordinance, and we would have to determine what we're talking about. Are we talking about pets or livestock?
Right. That seems to be a fuzzy area for us. Kevin, thanks. Are you heading back to your chickens, or are you going the other way?
Heading back towards home.
Thanks. All right, Kevin. Have a safe drive. Helen in Ames, hi.
Hey.
Yes. Do you raise chickens?
Yeah, I'm Helen Gunderson from Ames. I've got 5 chickens, and a couple of things. I think there's too much disconnect between our rural heritage and urban life, and it really means a lot to me to bring my rural heritage into an urban area.
Did you grow up with chickens, Helen?
Well, I grew chickens for 4-H, but I really didn't know what I was doing. It was in an era where we had maybe 80 chickens, but now it's a whole different level of meaning. They're more like pets, but they're also part of the local food movement. And, I garden, and it just gives me a sense of being at home in the city, bringing that farm heritage along.
Mm-hmm. We had Susan Orlean talking earlier about she just likes to go out and observe the chickens. Is that your enjoyment?
Yeah, I mean, some people watch their grandchildren's play or they watch their cats play. I really have a frustration with dog noises. And I've had to learn that dog barking in the neighborhood is just part of life. Mm-hmm. And I don't see anybody saying, okay, complaints about dogs and dog noises are bad, so let's not let people have dogs in town.
Yeah, there's a point. Thank you very much, Helen, joining us from Ames. Trying to squeeze in a call or two. Ray is in Iowa City. Hi, Ray.
Well, I would urge anyone who's considering raising chickens in an urban population to also consider the connection to histoplasmosis and blastomycosis, which used to be almost epidemic in the Mississippi Valley, directly attributable to chicken nests and, chicken coops. I mean, you start this in Iowa City, you'll have histoplasmosis cases.
Well, what about Ames, though? Judy Parks?
Well, we're talking about spreading this thing out on a mass basis.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, wouldn't
and,
it?
But I can guarantee you there will be people that don't keep their coops up.
Mm-hmm.
And
sounds like you may have some medical expertise,
I
Ray?
I have a lot of experience with this.
In what
this
sense?
This was very common back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. It trailed off into the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that a city definitely needs to look into.
Okay.
There are medical complications of this.
Ray, thank you very much. Judy, any sense of that? Any problems with diseases in Ames after your 20-year experience there, allowing at least 20-year experience, allowing backyard chickens?
All I can say is we have not had complaints of that either from people who have contracted any of those issues or have concerns about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, I think it relates to how well you keep the animals.
Okay, very quickly, we have just a few seconds left. Rebecca,
yes.
In Cedar Rapids, do you want to say a few words to those concerns?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we contacted Dr. Daryl Trample at the Iowa State University. He's a poultry expert there. And he said that, and I'll read directly from his answer when we asked about
quickly, please.
Concerns, a disease that travels from animals to man is called zoonotic, and dogs and cats carry zoonotic diseases, but chickens generally do not.
Okay, so it's
it's actually less of a disease concern
than dogs and cats. Very mm-hmm. good. What a nice discussion. Thank you very much for joining us, Rebecca Mumaugh.
Thank you so much.
From Cedar Rapids, Judy Parks from Ames, assistant city attorney, Mayor Regina Bailey of Iowa City. Thank you very much for coming into our studio and for this discussion.
Thank you.
The Exchange is produced by Catherine Perkins and Jeff Schmidt. Our producer assistant today, Rosalind Sixby. If you'd like to hear the entire conversation we had this hour, perhaps you only caught 10 or 15 minutes of it, go to iowapublicradio.org and look for our podcasting. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.